Hello, and welcome to the Multicultural Middle Ages podcast. In this episode, Amanda Valdez-Sanchez will present her work, The Persuasive Power of Mariam, Proselytism, Religious Conversion, and the Politics of Marian Devotion in Medieval and Early Modern Castile. We hope you enjoy this immersive episode of the podcast.
Sometime in the 15th century, a young Muslim woman arrived at a monastery in Extremadura, Spain, to serve the Virgin of Guadalupe, for whom she had abandoned her hometown in Tangier and converted to Christianity. To preserve her memory, the monastic community recorded her story in a series of codices collecting the miracles of the local Virgin. In them, the girl named Fatima was depicted as an exemplary Christian whose exceptional piety and love for the Extremaduran Virgin had granted her the nickname the Good Christian. By the end of the 16th century, her tomb had been placed inside Guadalupe's church and covered by a marble stone on which pilgrims could read her story transformed into a symbol of the predestination of Muslims to accept the Christian message guided by the maternal touch of Mary. Almost 2 centuries after the arrival of Fatima in Guadalupe, the Carmelite friar Marcos Guadalajara and Xavier narrated how another virgin, the Virgin of Tovet in Zaragoza, had started to sweat in 1526, coinciding with the royal order for the conversion of Aragonese Muslims. According to Guadalajara, the Marian image of Tovet continued sweating until 1610, when the descendants of those converted from Islam, labeled as Moriscos, were expelled by royal decree from Iberian territory. In this way, the friar portrayed the Virgin as the patron of the Morisco expulsion, and her sweat, in Guadalajara's own words, as an omen of the apostasies and the damage that would result to Spain for such infamous and bestial people. For Guadalajara, as for other apologies of the expulsion, Moriscos carried the mark of a heresy on their bodies and had to be removed from Spain's Christian soil, unable ever to become good Christians. Contrasting with Fatima's story, the legend of the Virgin of Tovet reflected a completely opposite conception of the Virgin's role in Iberian multiconfessional society and the spiritual potential of its Muslim population. How did the Iberian Muslims go from potential exemplar Marian devotees to enemies of the Virgin Mary, incapable of being good Christians and functional members of Iberian society? And even more, how was Mary transformed from a liminal figure able to attract the Muslim population to Christianity to the patron of Christian orthodoxy and the Morisco expulsion? I am Amanda Valdez, doctor in history and postdoctoral researcher at Brown University and the Spanish National Research Council. In this episode, we will talk about the importance of Marian devotion in the Castilian domination of the former territory of Al-Andalus and its native Islamic population. We will analyze how the local Islamic cult of Mariam became an essential tool of the Castilian colonial project. In addition, we will look into the crucial role of Mary in the articulation of the place of this Muslim population in the changing colonial regime. Finally, we will explore the political significance of Marian devotion in the turbulent context of late medieval and early modern Spain, defined by the versus Inquisition, the emergence of new communities of converts to Christianity from Judaism and Islam, and the progressive racialization of religious ancestry and ethnic differences. In 1976, the anthropologist William R. Christian made a record of the predominant devotions in the Iberian territory since the Middle Ages, pointing out the clear preeminence of the Marian cult in the southern territories conquered since the mid-12th century, such as Extremadura, Andalusia, Valencia, and Murcia. In a cantiga from the 13th century songbook, The Cantigas de Santa Maria, the Castilian monarch Alfonso the Wise related how his father, Ferdinand III, used to place an image of the Virgin at the door of the mosques of the recently conquered Andalusian cities. Several studies have shown how the Castilian crown's need to assimilate and consolidate its dominance over the new southern territories conditioned the royal devotion of the Marian cult. Through the promotion of new local Marian devotions, Castilian monarchs sought to enhance the repopulation project, Christianize the southern sacred landscape, and integrate the diversity of the new Castilian settlements of the south, characterized by the presence of an abundant native Muslim population. The royal devotion of Marian devotion was also intrinsically linked, as we will see, to the consolidation of the emerging Castilian nation and the developing Castilian identity, serving especially to Castilian settlers in the south as a way to conceptualize their historical and physical proximity to Islam. But you may be wondering, why did the Castilian monarchy show specifically the Virgin as the patron of their new colonial enterprise? The promotion of Marian devotion marked a decisive turn in the religious patronage of the Castilian crown, which until then had been closely tied to the apostolic cult of St. James in Compostela, historically linked to the military confrontation with Islam. According to tradition, St. James had promoted the Christian conquest of Al-Andalus since his first apparition in the Battle of Clavijo. This turn in Castilian royal policy is evident in the Castilian songbook, The Cantigas de Santa Maria. Throughout this miracle collection, Alfonso the Tenth not only intended to promote the new Marian sanctuaries of the south, but also tried to actively discourage the call to St. James, reuniting several miracles in which the apostle failed to assist his devotees, who were rescued instead by the Virgin. As several authors have pointed out, this promotion of the Marian call to the detriment of the call of St. James sought to spread a new theology, based not on the militaristic image of St. James the Moor Slayer, but instead on the maternal image of the Virgin. This new theology, based on the integrative potential of Mary's love, responded to the need to consolidate Castilian power in the south and appeal to the diverse population of the new southern territories. The prominent role of the Virgin in the new Castilian territories was also determined by the particular development of the call of Marian in the Andalusi Islamic tradition. Since the 11th century, the religiosity of Al-Andalus was influenced by the Sufi conception of women as privileged means of divine revelation and the debate over the female possession of the ability of prophethood. This debate, centered on the reflection on the prophetic status of Mary, was led by Andalusi commentators of the Quran, such as Ibn Hasan of Al-Qurtubi, who firmly defended the role of Marian as a Quranic prophet. Similarly, Sufi masters such as the Morsian Ibn Arabi or the Persian Husbihan Bakli, who had a significant influence on Iberian Islamic imagery even after the Castilian conquest, promoted Marian's extraordinary spirituality. In their writings, they affirm that she had been the only woman who was granted knowledge of the essence of oneness and the divine nature of God, achieving the state of perfection or kamal, and showing from her conception a unique ability for communicating with God. These circumstances favor an interest in an exploitation of Islamic Mariology. For example, in the Cantigas, Alfonso quoted the Quran in several instances to reaffirm the Islamic belief in Mary's virginity and her exceptional spiritual gift. This desire to adapt Marian devotion to medieval Castile's multi-confessional context favored, as we will see, the development of a particular conception of Mary as a prophetess that flourished during the 14th and 15th centuries through a series of devotional treatises created in many instances in close contact with the religious literature of contemporary Muslim communities. This is the case, for example, of the Life of the Virgin by the Dominican Juan López de Salamanca, who, during the creation of this work, was absorbed in the redaction of a polemical response to the Sunni breviary by Ika Hedeli, the religious leader of the Muslim community of Segovia. After the death of his father, Alfonso X inherited Castile's vast new southern domains that extended from the Algarve and Extremadura to the Guadalquivir Valley and included the vassal kingdoms of Murcia and the Guadalete Valley. The new Castilian territories were inhabited by a diverse population formed by Castilian settlers of different faiths and origins, a heterogeneous Jewish community, a significant local Islamic population, and sometimes even small groups of converts from Islam. Throughout his reign, Alfonso had to face several threats to the unstable Castilian rule in the south. In 1264, a popular rising of the local Islamic population broke out, supported by the Islamic kingdoms of Murcia and Granada. During the following decade, Castile endured intermittent military confrontations with the Kingdom of Granada and its North African allies. Between 1272 and 1283, the king had also to deal with the betrayal of members of the Castilian nobility and his own son, Sancho IV, who allied with the Granada Emirate in an attempt to overthrow him. These circumstances decisively impacted the development of one of Alfonso's more beloved projects, the Cantigas de Santa Maria. The Cantigas started as an emulation of the main North European, Latin, and vernacular miracle collections. Beginning in 1275, when Alfonso had been dealing for a decade with different challenges to the Castilian colonial project and his royal authority, the Cantigas took a more local turn, evidencing a progressive displacement of the geographical location of the miracles collected, which moved from the major European sanctuaries towards Iberian made sacred places. Through his later additions to the collection, Alfonso tried especially to promote the new Marian sanctuaries of the south, creating some cycles that narrated the foundation of the new settlements, such as Jerez or Santa Maria del Puerto, and the extraordinary miracles of the Little Virgin. In this way, by promoting Marian devotion in the newly conquered territories of the south, Alfonso tried to consolidate the precarious Castilian power, diffusing a call that could stimulate the consolidation and success of the Castilian colonial project and the integration of its diverse population. The Virgin will aid whoever trusts in her and prays faithfully to her, although they follow another law. These are the words with which one of the Cantigas starts. This Cantiga tells the story of a grieving Muslim mother who, after losing her son, went to the sanctuary of Our Lady of Sala, where the Virgin resurrected the child and blessed both after their conversion. Through similar miracles, the Cantigas presented Mary as mother of all faith, assuring, as the choral of the song did, that the Virgin would help her devotees even if they were of another confession. These stories try to diffuse a rhetoric of Marian compassion, then encourage non-Christians to channel their fears and anxieties through the expectation of Mary's assistance. This image of the Virgin also tried to appeal to the religious imaginary of Alfonso's new Muslim subjects, portraying Mary as the female character of the Sufi devotional literature that dominated local Islamic religiosity before the conquest. Like them, the Virgin was presented as a charismatic presence that expanded among different social groups, channeling a similar message of hope and redemption through spiritual guidance and miraculous healings. This desire to reaffirm the presence of Mary in the new Castilian domains is also apparent in Alfonso's promotion of a Byzantine conception of images that portray the Marian images of the new sanctuaries of the south as emanation of divinity, through which the local population could contact the Virgin and request her protection. This conception of Mary was intrinsically linked to an integrative perception of the religious and cultural diversity of Castile's new territories, and the potential of Marian devotion to unify the emerging Castilian society. This is especially clear in the Cantiga's narration of the foundation of Santa Maria del Puerto in Cádiz, in which the Virgin was depicted as a protector of El Puerto's multi-confessional settlers, which included Muslim characters, such as the high officer who seeks to Alfonso the territory of Alcanatir, the architect Ali, who directs the construction of the new local Marian sanctuary, or the Moroccan settlers that the Virgin saves from the attack of Catalan pirates. In this way, the Cantigas assured their diverse audience that Marian protection transcended the confessional boundaries that shaped the emerging Castilian nation, as a way to promote the social cohesion and interconfessional cooperation that the Castilian colonial project required to succeed. Marian devotion played an essential role not only in the consolidation of the Castilian colonial project, but also in the progressing expansion of its boundaries. Around 1335, the great-grandson of Alfonso the White, Alfonso XI, visited a small shrine in Guadalupe, Extremadura, where local tradition affirmed an image of the Virgin had appeared to a shepherd at the Sierra de Villuercas. Since the reign of Alfonso XI, the Castilian monarchy granted the Extremadura sanctuary numerous privileges and concessions that stimulated its transformation into Castile's new religious center. The royal patronage of the Monastery of Guadalupe was thought of as a way to satisfy the crown's need to attract pilgrims and settlers to the more underpopulated areas of Extremadura and the Guadalquivir Valley. In 1389, the link between the Monastery of Guadalupe and the Crown was reinforced with the transfer of the sanctuary into the hands of the Jeronimite Order, which, from its beginnings, had been led by members of the Castilian high nobility and royal court. Throughout the 15th century, the Jeronimite community of Guadalupe was invested in another royal enterprise, the expansion of Castile's borders. First with the conquest of the Islamic Kingdom of Granada, and later with the occupation of strategic positions in North Africa, intended to reduce the Ottoman power in the Mediterranean. The displacement of Castilian royal interest is apparent in the 15th century miracle collection created by the Jeronimite community of Guadalupe. While the first codices of the collection produced before and during the campaign against the Nazarene Kingdom, focused on the conversion of Muslims and the prevention of captives from the Granadan territory, later codices created during the Castilian conquest of North African port cities and its struggle against the Ottoman Empire focus instead in similar stories located in North Africa and Turkey. The miracles also presented the Virgin of Guadalupe as the patron of Castilian territorial expansion, protecting especially the inhabitants of the south, who had been essential in the Granadan and North African military campaigns. Throughout the collection, multiple stories try to assure Castilian settlers of the south that the Extremadura Virgin would protect them from their bigger fears, captivity and apostasy, comforting them spiritually and leading them to freedom.
And Our Lady, having received his full devotion, gave him a sign of the effect of his request, because the following night he dreamed that he was in a big palace filled with a great light, and that a very beautiful queen, dressed in blue with a white habit over her, was sitting on a throne. She was the Virgin Mary, to whom he had commended himself. In this way, when he woke up, finding in himself a renewed devotion, he understood that he had not been deceived in his pious dream, and he commended himself again to her with an even greater desire to be baptized in the Christian faith.
This fragment belongs to the story of Ali, a North African man who, according to the Extremadura Miracle Collection, converted to Christianity inspired by his love for the Virgin of Guadalupe. As in the case of Ali, in multiple conversion stories, the Extremaduran Virgin stimulated the conversion of her Islamic devotees by appearing to them while they sleep, in the form of a luminous and dreamlike presence. Although this conception of dreams as a vehicle of spiritual awakening was present in the Christian tradition, Ali's dream could also evoke the Islamic conception of dreams as a means to communicate with the sacred, mainly popularized in Sufi religiosity as a way to receive spiritual guidance through ruya, or divine visions, achieve a mystical state, and seek the answers to spiritual queries through the ritual of iskahara, or incubation. Similarly, although a prominent theme in medieval Marian devotional literature, the Virgin's luminous image could also recall to the prophetic abilities that the Andalusi Islamic tradition attributed to Marian. Through the metaphor of light, the Extremadura Miracle Collection presented a conception of the Virgin as a recipient and source of divine revelation that was equally present in the devotional literature of contemporary Iberian Muslim communities. In his reflections about the excellence of Mariam, the anonymous writer known as the Young Man from Arevalo asserted how Mary had been blessed with a unique access to revelation by describing how God had put upon her a lamp invisible to the eyes but not to the hearts, through which she, like other Quranic prophets, had received celestial influence and achieved an elevated spiritual status. By presenting the Virgin as a dreamlike provider of spiritual illumination who resonated with Islamic tradition, the Jeronimites tried to appeal to Iberian multi-confessional audiences, transforming the Extremaduran Virgin into a charismatic figure capable of attracting new followers even from the other side of the Strait of Gibraltar. In this way, the Miracle Collection sought to promote Castilian expansion, presenting the Virgin of Guadalupe as guarantor of Christian triumph, whose action allowed Castilians to imagine the conquest of new territories in the Islamic population under the infallible protection of Mary. As the Extremadura Miracle Collection proposed, the diffusion of Marian devotion will be equally instrumental in the evangelization of Castile's new territories in the spiritual conquest of its native Islamic population. In 1492, Fray Hernando de Talavera, former confessor of the Queen Isabella I of Castile, was appointed first archbishop of the recently conquered city of Granada. Talavera, who was a vocal opponent of forced conversions and the inquisitorial persecution of new Christians, tried to promote the evangelization of the local Muslim population. With this purpose, he designed a missionary method based on the use of Arabic as a pastoral language, the study of the principles of the Islamic religion and local religious tradition, and the adaptation of the Christian code to Granada's culture. In 1499, the method for evangelizing the Granadan population changed with the arrival in Granada of Cardinal Jiménez de Cisneros, who used bribes and coercive tactics to force the conversion of the local Muslim community. The actions of Cisneros caused a wave of Mudéjar uprisings that extended from the Albaicín to the Alpujarra and resulted in the signing of new capitulations in the Royal Edict of 1501, that established the mandatory conversion of all Granadan Muslims. The forced conversion of 1501 radically changed Granada's religious panorama, with the emergence of a flock of new Christians that needed to be educated in the principles of their new faith. With this aim, the Queen, advised by Talavera, commissioned the creation of a series of cast Marian images for the parishes of Granada's Morisco Quarter, the Albaicín. By selecting Marian images to preside over the churches that the newly converted had to attend, Talavera tried to exploit the extraordinary devotion of Granada Muslims to Marian. In his itinerary, the German traveler Hieronymo Mansur described how Granada's Islamic community was highly devoted to the Virgin, narrating how an old Muslim man had shown him, quote, a rosary made from date beads, saying that they were from the palm tree from which Mary ate during her flight from Egypt.
The sixth dignity is that while she was in her mother's womb, she was greatly and loftily blessed with divine gifts. Her holy soul, as soon as it was created and infused into her beautiful body, was given the gift of intelligence and wisdom greater than had ever before been given to any human being. And she exercised all of these great gifts with all her power, being enclosed within her mother's womb. This exercise was all contemplation, because of which her saintly soul was always raised on high.
This quote belongs to one of the first pages of Talavera's translation of The Life of Christ by the Catalan theologian Francis Eiximenis. The work of Eiximenis was highly influential in late medieval Castile. Translated to Castilian, it was present in whole copies and devotional compendiums across ecclesiastic and noble libraries. Eiximenis' books were even among the devotional texts that Talavera had recommended Queen Isabella to read as his confessor. Unlike other European devotional writers, Eiximenis' work affirmed that the Virgin had enjoyed God's favor since her conception, receiving, since she was inside her mother's womb, transcendental revelations of the celestial mysteries and the redemptive mission of her Son. In this way, Eiximenis presented Mary as a spiritual authority in her own right, who, similar to how Sufi mystics from Al-Andalus to Persia had imagined Marian, had been nurtured through her life by divine guidance in her exemplary practice of contemplation. As part of his missionary experience in Granada, Talavera ordered the printing of Eiximenis' work and its distribution among all Granada's new parishes. Through the promotion of Eiximenis' Life of Christ, Talavera tried to present a conception of Mary whose privileged access to revealed truth not only made her similar to the Andalusi vision of Marian, but also transformed her into the ideal messenger to reveal to the new Christian of Talbaisin some of the tenets of Christianity that the former faith denied. Using Eiximenis' work as a pastoral complement, Talavera created a new liturgical program around the Marian images of Talbaisin that equated the new Christians of Granada to the pagan people of biblical times, represented by the Welsh kings, who, according to Eiximenis, had similarly received the Christian message from the Virgin Mary. The Feast of Epiphany had, in fact, a crucial minute in Granada, as the Catholic monarch had entered the newly conquered city on the day before the festivity, marking the revelation of the Christian message among Granada's Islamic population on the same day that it had been received by the Magi as representatives of the Gentiles. In his translation of the work of Eiximenis, Talavera added two hymns that supposedly reenacted the songs that the angelic choirs had sung to celebrate Christ's birth. Through expressions such as, Christian peoples, let adore your God, make a shout today for you, Talavera tried to transmit an inclusive message that invited the new congregation of Talbaisin to relive one of the critical moments of the revelation, reminding them how, as the Bible showed, the Christian flock had been formed since its origin by diverse peoples that became a united community through the redemptive power of Christ's birth. In this way, Through his pastoral work in Granada, Talavera tried not only to create a version of Christian practice that appealed to the religious sensibility of the local Morisco community, but also sought to spread among Granada's diverse population a political understanding of the biblical narrative that exalted the role of ethnic diversity in the origins of Christianity and the right of Castilians, new Christians, to integrate the Reformed Church as the different peoples of God had integrated the primitive church. In 1502, coinciding with a royal decree that established the forced conversion of all the Muslims of Castile, Ambrosio de Montesinos published his translation of the Vita Christi of Ludovic of Saxony, commissioned by the Catholic monarchs a year before. This translation represented the introduction in Castile of a new spiritual trend, characterized by the diffusion of classic devotional works dedicated to the practice of meditations on the life and passion of Christ that had been, until then, virtually absent from Castile's libraries. By the end of the 15th century, this religious transformation was fostered by the Catholic monarch's desire to promote through the Spanish kingdom's new sanctioned religious beliefs, sponsoring the creation of new didactic texts intended to eliminate the corruption of local Christianity and dispel the confusion about Christian doctrine raised by non-believers. Key devotional texts, like The Life of Christ of Francis H. Jimenez, that had fundamentally shaped Castilian medieval devotional culture, were suddenly censored, progressively perceived as unorthodox and as influenced by the pernicious presence of religious minorities. Throughout the 16th century, the new devotional trend favored as well the introduction in Castile of new penitential practices and the development of the celebration of Holy Week, characterized by long processions of penitents, practicing public flagellation and the display of graphic representations of the Passion of Christ and the spiritual sorrows of his mother at the foot of the cross. In this way, the transformation of Castile's devotional culture determined as well the reconfiguration of the collective image of Mary, from the quasi-divine prophetess of Castilian medieval literature to the helpless human mother of the Savior, who had more with him the physical and spiritual sufferings of the Passion. This image of the Virgin intentionally departed from the medieval conception of Mary that had been developed over centuries to adapt the Christian message to Iberian multi-confessional society, presenting instead a vision of her intrinsically linked to the Passion, a biblical episode that Islamic tradition rejected as a gruesome and false account of the life of the prophet Isa and his beloved mother. In 1567, the Castilian crown emitted a royal resolution that aptly tried to erode the remnants of Granada Morisco culture, forbidding speaking Arabic, owning Arabic books, wearing traditional clothing, using Arabic names, and celebrated local rituals for weddings and funerals. The Pragmatic of 1567 was the last of a series of measures that significantly restricted Morisco rights and affected the economic stability of their community, such as the 1560 Royal Order to review Nazrid land and property rights, and the 1565 Provincial Synod of Granada, which determined the transformation of local ecclesiastic policies toward new Christians, and increase of inquisitorial vigilance. This new regulation severely impacted Granada's Morisco population, leading to the development between 1568 and 1571 of a bloody popular revolt across the mountainous regions of the Alpujarra. After several years of bitter confrontation, the war ended with numerous casualties on both fronts, and a royal order that forced expulsion of most of the local Morisco population from Granada. The new devotional trend also impacted the integration of Castile's Moriscos, hindered significantly since the 1570 by the ethnic conflict of the Alpujarra War and the dispersion of the expelled Moriscos from Granada over other regions of Castile. The Morisco diaspora, formed by almost 80,000 people, particularly affected major cities like Seville, where the Morisco population grew exponentially in a few months. The arrival of the displaced Granadan community in Seville increased social suspicion towards Moriscos, reinforced through the 1580s with the discovery of a small network of Moriscos that secretly practiced Islam, and the increase of the inquisitorial persecution of the newcomers, as well as by the diffusion of widespread rumors about an upcoming uprising of all the Moriscos of Andalusia. This distrust in the ability of Granadan Moriscos to integrate themselves into Seville's diverse society is also evident in the emergence by the 1550s of ordinances of local brotherhoods that actively excluded Moriscos as members of these lay associations that had been, until then, an essential tool in their religious and social assimilation.
How we should receive new brothers. We order and command that no brother can be received into this brotherhood of ours without first knowing if he is an honest man with a good life and fame. And those who were received as brothers must not be blacks, or mulattoes, or Moriscos, or mestizos, or Indians.
Significantly, the new admission policy of these associations coincide in many instances with the transformation into penitential corporations and the emergence of new brotherhoods dedicated to the call of the Passion and Mary's sorrows. This was the case, for example, of the medieval Brotherhood of the Great Power and Transfiguration of Our Lady, that in 1570 transformed into a penitential corporation, redacting new ordinances that established that new members could not be, quote, black, mulatto, or Morisco, unquote. This devotional transformation was also manifested by the emergence on the new ordinances of an iconography around the Passion, which included images of Christ as a Nazarene, carrying the cross on his back, and the Virgin in her solitude, characterized by a dagger stuck in her chest as a symbol of her suffering at the foot of the cross. The new penitential quorum and the clauses that restricted Morisco's admission even reached some of the brotherhoods linked to the parishes where the Granadan Moriscos relocated in Seville had to attend Mass. This is the case, for example, of the Confraternity of Our Lady of the Good Voyage, which in 1586 redacted new ordinances that established that new aspirants had to present a juridically authorized report that confirmed that they were all Christians, both on their mother and father's side. In this way, the consolidation of the new devotional trend determined the progressive exclusion of Moriscos from local religious life, not only through the clauses that directly excluded them from the lay associations that centered public celebrations, but also through the promotion of a passionary conception of the Virgin, the consolidation of public penitence, and the promotion of baroque imagery that openly clashed with Morisco religious sensibility. In 1588, during the demolition of the former mosque of Granada, A box was found containing an ancient parchment written in Arabic, Latin, and Spanish, which confirmed the existence of the legendary Saint Cecilius, the first bishop of Granada, and the presence in the Granada of the 1st century AC of a group of Arab Christians who formed the first Christian community of Iberia. Between 1595 and 1599, new discoveries arose on the hill of Valparaiso, including a series of lead plaques that testify to the martyrdom of several disciples of the Apostle St. James, as well as a series of 22 lead books inscribed with archaic Arabic characters. The books contain a series of revelations that the Virgin and St. James had dictated to two of his disciples, two Arab brothers named St. Cecilius and St. Ctesiphon. Among these revelations was a sacred book revealed to the Virgin at the end of her spiritual journey to heaven, the content of which she had transmitted to the apostles and had been copied by St. James' Arab disciples. According to the lead books, the Virgin had ordered St. James and his disciples to travel to Iberia, where they were to deposit a copy of the revealed text and preach to the local population. Following the Virgin's command, the apostles and his disciples arrived in Ilabula, the Roman city of Granada, where they achieved their first conversion, a member of the local Arab community. The content of the discoveries was closely linked to the main concerns faced by the Morisco community that persisted in Granada. After the expulsion of 1570, the repopulation sponsored by Philip II drastically affected the social balance that had characterized Granadan society until then, favoring the displacement of the Morisco population by all Christian settlers. This situation was exacerbated through the 1580s by the continuous threat of the expulsion of the whole Morisco population from Spanish territory, discussed in successive juntas and hinted at through recurrent partial expulsions of Morisco groups from Granada. The decade of the 1580s saw, in addition, the adoption of many decisions and measures that restricted the rights of general Morisco population and the privileges of noble families of Nahrid origin. These decades were characterized as well by the consolidation of the racialization of Morisco's Islamic ancestry, evident in the inquisitorial use of Morisco's religious ancestry as a determining factor in trials. The racialization of Moriscos was also expressed in the biological-based language present in the debates about the baptizing of Morisco children, who, as some detractors affirm, could not be redeemed, as they had received through their mother's milk, quote, the hatred they had for the Catholic religion, and had within their entrails the infected root of Islam, unquote.
They also killed that day a Morisco widowed, who had been the wife of a Christian, because she did not want to be a Moor like them, and she told them that she was a Christian. They beheaded her, and she gave her soul to her Creator, entrusting herself many times to the glorious Virgin Mary. The unbelievers could not stand that the Christians, when they saw themselves in that situation, entrusted themselves to God and His Blessed Mother. And as heretics and bad people told them, dogs, God has no mother, and they hurt them very cruelly.
Hate speech against Moriscos centered especially around their imagined relationship with the Virgin. Inquisitorial records, theatrical plays, devotional books, historical chronicles, and local legends portray Moriscos as enemies of Mary, through a discourse that disregarded Islamic devotion to Mariam and represented Moriscos' lack of devotion or disrespect to the Mother of God as a sign of their inability to become good Christians and faithful subjects. As the tension around the supposed religious dissimulation of Moriscos and the inquisitorial failure to determine sincere belief plagued Spanish society of the 1500s, the Virgin became a symbol of hegemonic Catholicism, marking the differences that define the blurring boundaries between Christianity and Islam. old and new Christians, orthodoxy and heresy. In this context, the authors of the late books, who probably came from the Granadan Morisco elites, tried to redefine the origins of the Hispanic Arab population, affirming the native and Christian origin of Granadan Moriscos, who, according to the discoveries, descended from those early Arab Christians to whom the Apostle St. James and his disciples had preached in 1st century Granada. For the Hispanic Arab population, whose ancestors were not only the first Christians of Spain, but also had a fundamental role in the history of revelation in Spain's sacred history, as the bishops and martyrs who had carried out the evangelization of the Iberian territory under the guidance of the Virgin and the Apostle St. James. The late books also intended to oppose the growing identification of the Arabic language with Islam, presenting Arabic as an inherently Christian language that God has chosen to expose the more precious secrets of divine revelation. For this purpose, the text tried to subvert the Marian language through which Morisco difference had been defined, articulating a Marian argument to legitimize the Morisco presence on Spanish soil, and project a conception of Castilian society in which the Moriscos could live in peace. In one of the books, the Virgin herself vindicated the value of the Arabic language and the Arab nation.
I certify you that the Arabs are one of the good nations, and the language is one of the good languages. God chose them to exalt His holy law, His sacred gospel, and His holy church at the end of time. And I was commanded to do with this gospel what was done by the tablets of Moses.
Significantly, the late books also sought to contest the medieval image of St. James as a Moor slayer. In this sense, the text tried to redefine St. James as the spiritual guide of the Arab nation, who had chosen among them his most beloved disciples and preached among Granada's early Arab population, surrounded by devout followers who would later be imagined as wearing turbans and dressed in Moorish fashion. In this way, the late books sought to confront the hateful rhetoric of the apologies of expulsion, like Guadalajara and Xavier, proposing instead an inclusive image of Iberian Christianity since its origin, according to which Moriscos were not Mary's enemy, but the chosen people destined to preserve and spread the divine message. As we have seen during this episode, the Castilian colonial project used Marian devotion to consolidate its dominance over the new southern territories and their inhabitants. With this purpose, Castilian monarchs and ecclesiastic authorities promoted a charismatic and maternal conception of the Virgin, configured according to the parameters of local Islamic religiosity, as a way to favor the integration of the Islamic population from Al-Andalus and the social cohesion of the emerging Castilian society. As the needs of the colonial project changed with the consolidation of Castilian rule in the south towards the end of the 15th century, this concern for adapting the Christian message was gradually replaced by a more restricted conception of Christianity in Castilian colonial society, paradigmatically represented by the religious policy of the Catholic monarchs. The new religiosity, sponsored by the Castilian crown, marked a decisive change in the royal policy towards religious and cultural diversity that was intrinsically linked to the transformation of the Spanish religious and social panorama at the beginning of the 16th century, with the emergence of the Moriscos as a social group. In this sense, the transformation of Castile's devotional culture reflected the increasing confessionalization of 1500s Spanish society, in which, as we have seen, ethno-religious minorities and their religious sensibility were progressively marginalized, due to the central role of the Virgin in the historical integration of the population of Islamic descent in Castilian society, the transformation of their social perception from their initial inclusion as necessary members of the Castilian nation to their final representation as unassimilable and marginal elements of society was irremediably expressed by a similar transformation of Mary and her role in the changing context of early modern Iberia. These circumstances radically determined the increasing politicization of Marian devotion and its role in the development of the Morisco problem, manifested through competing visions of the Virgin and her relationship with the Spanish Arab population, which, like the lead books or the writings of Guadalajara and Xavier, reflected opposing conceptions of the emerging Spanish Empire and the place of the Moriscos in it.
This has been an episode of the Multicultural Middle Ages, an anthology-style podcast series sponsored by the Medieval Academy of America. Season 3 was produced by Will Beatty, Jonathan Correa-Reyes, Reed O'Mara, and Logan Quigley, with music by Anna O'Connell. For more information on the MMA podcast, follow the links in the episode description and consider subscribing to keep up with new episodes.